Good evening, squirrels.
Hello, squirrely squirrels. It's a little bit weird tonight.
It is weird.
Because.
But not that weird.
No, not that weird. it's a first, actually, in the entire time we've been doing this show.
Really?
It's never just been you and me.
Hmm.
So.
Have you ever done a show with just you and Jay?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes, yeah. we've done one or two, I think.
I think I am reluctant to do these types of shows because I don't want to talk that much. I need like a buffer. I need two other people so that I don't have to talk as much.
Well, yeah, you can put us on mute and color or something.
Yeah, you know, paint my nails.
Important stuff.
Important stuff.
So we are Jayless.
Yeah. Jay is in Utah.
Yeah, doing stuff.
Mm-hmm. Gun stuff, secret.
Yeah, something.
Stuff.
He had to go to California, though, to get there, so.
Isn't that kind of going backwards?
I guess there's no good way to fly into Utah. You can fly into Salt Lake City, but if, you know, that's like one little part of the entire state.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was closer for him to fly into Los Angeles or something like that and then drive back to Utah or something. I'm not sure how it works. So, anyway. So, we have stuff to talk about.
We do. It's been quite a week.
And not all politics.
Well, you know, we could go all politics if we wanted, but, you know,
I want to start off with my jalapeno pepper plant.
You know, I wanted to bring up, and I don't know if any of our squirrels are big gardeners, but I've always wanted to talk about it on the show because we have, Mike and I have, we love gardening. Well, okay. Let me just, Mike likes to eat. And so he knows that food will come out of the ground if he digs the dirt and Brita plants the plants.
That's a good incentive.
Yeah, it's a great incentive. And so, like, you know, he will do all the, like, you know, manual labor of digging the dirt and building the thing and putting the, you know, and I will plant the plants and I take care of the plants. And then food arrives.
Yay,
so,
food.
Yay, food. And as a result, you know, we get lots of peppers and tomatoes, and I've kind of branched out of, you know, started planting like little seeds like radishes and beets. Beets, we love growing the beets because they're great. And when we first got married, Mike refused to eat beets, but the trick to beets is roast them and then serve them with goat cheese.
That's like the trick for every vegetable.
Roast the vegetable. Yeah, it's, yeah. Don't boil your vegetables. Roast them. They're delicious. But so after we bought the house, like, we started gardening more and more. And I don't know if any of our squirrels garden, but, you know, contact me with all your tips because I'm into it. We do mostly, you know, like raised bed kind of square foot gardening kind of thing. We're kind of lazy gardeners, though. Like, we'll plant the seeds, and then the seeds will come up, and then there'll be kind of weeds, and we kind of leave them grow. And, you know, it's kind of like a mess out there. But we get food out of the garden anyway. I don't know where I was going this, but gardening is, you know, it's summertime. And I've always wanted to have, like, a gardening conversation on the squirrel port. I don't think Jay does any gardening. I could be wrong. He has never mentioned anything to me. But I know, Alan, that you started kind of growing little plants.
Yes.
How is that going?
I grow them and they die. So,
it's a totally different, like, environment down there.
I'm a plant serial killer.
I don't know how gardening goes in the south of Texas.
Well, it has to be heat tolerant.
Mm-hmm.
It has to not require a freeze.
Okay.
And if you do it right, you get three seasons.
Oh.
Because our spring starts second week of February.
Right.
And we run till like almost December.
For what? Stuff. What? Yeah. Okay.
And you know, I was talking to you offline. I was talking to you about my pepper plant because last year I had a jalapeno pepper plant. And
right. You had, if I recall correctly, one pepper plant in a pot.
Yes. And
not in the ground, right? No, just in
one,
a pot.
One pepper plant in a pot, and it produced just a god awful amount of jalapeno peppers. I mean, I was pulling more than I could eat off of that one plant, and I eat a lot of jalapeno peppers.
Is that the only plant you grew?
No, but it is the most successful one.
Okay.
So I had the jalapeno. I tried potatoes, but that didn't work. I don't know. Maybe they don't work well in Houston.
Yeah, it might be too hot.
But they just sort of rotted in the ground.
Right.
So anyway, this pepper plant, and I had always assumed that jalapenos were annuals. They grow, they die, whatever.
They are definitely annuals here.
Right.
I mean, we can grow them in the summer. They have a very short season.
Right.
You get lots of peppers, and then the plant dies.
Right.
You know, like at the first frost. Well, and that's how things go.
Right. I assume that's how this was because, you know, in the winter it, you know, turned brown and the leaves fell off and everything. And so I kind of left it there and I didn't pay any attention to it. And I was busy this spring with, you know, other things and didn't go buy a pepper plant. And I noticed one day that this pepper plant had green stuff growing on it again. So I kind of trimmed off the dead stuff and there was green stuff. And now it's like flowering and I have peppers growing and all that kind of stuff. So I looked it up and it is jalapeno peppers are perennial if it's old enough.
Oh my God. How awesome.
So, however, they don't produce as well.
Oh yeah.
After the first year. So.
Well, because the whole point of growing a fruit is to reproduce yourself, right?
Right. Right.
So if you do that the first year, you're like, okay, I'm good. So the second year.
Right.
Meh.
And they also, I also discovered they need lots of fertilizer.
Oh, okay.
Jalapenos will deplete soil like crazy. So
there you go. Interesting.
So I have a jalapeno plant growing for the second time in a year and it kind of freaked me out because it was like, hey, this
is a little freaky.
This thing's dead. And oh no, it's not dead. So.
Did you give it some fertilizer?
I did.
Oh, good. Okay. You'll probably get jalapenos.
I gave it some of that stinky poop fertilizer. And, yeah. So I have other plants. I have a hibiscus, which I pruned. Something ate all the leaves on it last year. I mean, like ate all the leaves down to the stem. I don't know what the hell it was, but something chewed it up. And it was kind of sticky, you know, sticks and nothing else. So I pruned it back and I thought I was going to, you know, lose it. And then this year it just went crazy with the leaves and no flowers. And so, I looked that up and apparently if you prune it, you cut off the part that makes the flowers.
Oh.
And so you have to wait for that to grow back. And it looks like it's growing back because I got some flower buds on it now. So.
Cool.
It is like three or four times as bushy as it was and looks like it's going to start having flowers. So that's two plants that have managed to survive my blackthorn. I also have a fern that I inherited from the previous owner of the house that somebody named it Einstein. And because it looks like Einstein's hair and it refuses to die as well. So,
well, it sounds like you're set then.
Yeah. I don't really do anything with it except water it. And it seems to be, you know, it parts of it turn brown and parts of it grow and parts of it turn brown and parts of it grow. So, you know, I think it's just a thing it does. So, yay. And I have a rosemary plant, in a pot.
I have to tell you that every time I visited Texas, the rosemary is just,
I
shake my head because I love rosemary. Just, I love to use it in cooking and everything. And it's always, a struggle to grow it because it just does not do well here. It's either too wet or too cold or too whatever. And I have to bring it in the wintertime and, you know, kind of baby it along and hope it survives the winter and, you know, and put it out like in the spring and kind of, you know, introduce it back into nature. You know, it's like very temperamental. And then I go to Texas and it's like you have hedges of rosemary.
Yeah, we have rosemary hedges because it doesn't, it's not even a perennial here. It just grows all year round.
It's crazy to me. But then on the other side, you guys don't have apples for cheap.
We don't have apples because apples don't grow. Well, you can kind of sort of make an apple grow in Texas, but apples need a freeze.
The
quote tree, which is another massive disillusionment.
I've spent
all my life imagining apple trees as these, you know, giant like oak tree things with the, you know, the apples growing on them. And I discover that the apple trees are really just bushes.
They're not bushes. They're little trees.
They're bushes. They're like 6 feet tall at the most. And they're bushes. It's an apple shrubbery. It's not a...
And it's kind of shrubby.
It's not really a tree.
So. Well, the whole point of an apple tree is to grow apples, not tree.
Oh, I know, but it's disappointing. You know. But
yeah,
that's fine.
So we're having a heat wave this week coming up, which is probably no news to you, right?
Right.
Because you've been having a heat wave for, what, like a month now?
Well, since, you know, May. Well,
yeah. We're going to hit the 90s this weekend, and everybody's kind of panicking, and oh God, you know, what are we going to do? Because, well, not everybody has central air, so.
Of course not. Why would you have central air for the 3 days a year that it's over 90 and you have to worry about it?
Yeah.
That's why all those people die in France every year. When, you know, and wasn't it the Europeans that are poo-pooing Americans for having air conditioning?
Oh, yes. I
noticed a spate of articles. It's like every year. It's like, ooh,
those Americans with their air conditioning.
And then you read the, you know, every August, something like, you know, 10,000 people die in France because they don't have air conditioning. Right. So, you know, guess what?
Yeah, it will hit 80, 85 in Ireland occasionally, and people think that the world is ending.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so, yeah. Whew.
Well, at least you have a window unit. And, you know.
Yeah, we have a window unit in the bedroom. And our house is pretty set up for, you know, kind of ventilation. We've got an old house, so we've got windows everywhere and, you know, that sort of thing. But I'm sitting here sweating as we speak. So
I happen to know that the only reason you turn the air conditioner on is to make your cat more comfortable.
Well,
because if it wasn't for him and it was just you, you wouldn't turn it on.
I might not. It's really loud.
Yeah, but the cat loves it.
He does.
Oh. All right. Well, you also have plants. You're like the plant lady at the library too.
I don't know how this happened. I'm not that good of a green thumb. I grow stuff and I'm like, okay, well, you know, good luck, buddy. Like I'll plant something and be like, okay, you're on your own. You know, I'll water you once in a while and, you know, good luck. But I've taken in plants at the library because we have live plants at the library and, you know, just kind of like in the reading area and, you know, around the library because we have this giant window and I brought what?
People haven't seen it, so they don't understand what giant window means.
It's
you
giant.
Have to explain it. It's like half of a solarium.
It's the people across the street from the library, all the houses across the street all have blinds pulled in their front windows because of the reflection from the library, like will go in and blind, like they never pull up their blinds, the people across the street from the library.
And I wish they'd turn that searchlight off.
It's blinding when the light hits it. But so I take care of the plants. A long time ago, there was a woman in the library, her name was Rosemary, funny enough, but she would take care of the plants. And when she retired, the job just kind of got passed around and it ended up with the the maintenance man, who really just does not give a shit about plants at all. And there was a point, like, I think it was like last summer, I said, John, I think you need to water the plants, because everything was like drooping and sad. And he's like, oh, okay. You know, he forgot. And I decided to bring one of my house plants into the library. This is probably the most boring squirrel report ever, but I brought my house plant into the library, and because my cat wants to eat every single plant in the universe. I think he was a goat in another life. But, and so as a result, I got the plant job in the library. And now I have patrons coming in donating plants. I, you know, it's like, sure, I'll take in your homeless plant. Sure. But, you know, it gets me away from the reference desk.
Bring us home for wayward plants.
Yeah, it's fine. Something else to do other than, you know, helping people learn how to use a printer. So,
yeah, let's not get into that.
I did want to talk about something that happened in the library this week, actually.
Okay.
And I had a man come in, and he had been in the library a number of times previously. And he had always been one of those guys that kind of rang my warning bell system, you know. He was always like on the edge of aggression, and I can't put it any other way than this. Like, he was always like just like you know the short fuse kind of guy. Like, anything might set him off. And he had been in it a couple times, and I remember one time he got angry about something that was, you know, silly. But so on Monday he came in again, and again, very like aggressive for no reason, and very, I don't know, just on edge for no reason, and kind of made me kind of mind my P's and Q's with him. You know what I mean? Like, okay, let's give this guy what he wants and get him out the door so he's not a problem. He's like one of those patrons. And so he wanted to print something up. And to print, you need your library card number. And so he gave me his ID. And at that point, I was like, woohoo, I've got his ID. I know his name and his date of birth. I can research this guy. And I looked up his name in the the library database, and it turned out he had like four or five different library cards, which is like a no-no in our system.
Well, he just got a new one every time he forgot.
Got a new one every time, yeah. And because he would, you know, rack up fines.
Right. Oh, I see.
And so he would manage somehow to get a new library card. So, so after he had left, I looked him up in, you know, the county courthouse and different databases like that. And sure enough, my little warning bell system was right. He had multiple like domestic violence. He had attempted theft, lots of, you know, obviously traffic violations. He had menacing, which I didn't know what menacing was until I looked it up. And it was with a weapon. You know, you like threaten somebody with a weapon.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, like, you know. So
I'm guessing it probably wasn't a gun, because they would.
I don't think it was, but probably like a whatever it was.
Club or a stick or something, you know.
You know.
Who knows?
I just felt good that like my gut was right. So
some
good times at the library, right?
Some people just have that.
Yeah. But he was very obvious. I've had other guys, you know, it's a whole spectrum where, you know, some people very obviously be one of those people like, whoa, you know, kind of make you wonder, uh-oh. But some people, you know, you question yourself. Don't question yourself.
Right.
Don't ever.
Well, you know, you watch these, you know, a lot of these like crew crime stuff.
Stories. What?
The crew
true crime. True. Have you been drinking?
No, I have dyslexia.
Oh,
but you see these guys, and there's like two types of criminal, right? That you see.
Mm-hmm.
One is like the guy in your library that's like, you know, criminal, you know, and, you know, these are the ones you see, like the mugshots on the,
right,
you know, your local police web page or whatever. And it's like, you know, pulled over, has, you know, a gun, you know, felony arrest warrants and, you know, 6 pounds of meth under his backseat, you know, stuff like that. And you look at the guy and you go, yep. And then there's the ones that are like the serial killers.
Right.
And those guys don't look like criminals.
Well, some of them do.
Well, yeah, but you know, they're like, it's like okay. Since I've been watched the first season of Mindhunter, and they're doing another one now.
Yay.
It's like, I see somebody on the street that looks like super normal. And my first thing I think is, I wonder if he's a serial killer.
Super normal equals serial killer.
Well, I don't know.
Okay.
You know, it's like, you got to wonder, you know?
Yeah, you know, you wonder, like, do people like that, like, I know that they strive to appear normal.
Right.
That's like their shtick, right? They have to be, right, they're predators.
They're super sociopaths, and you know, they can pretend to be whatever they want to be, and they're damn good at it. Whereas, and it's like a super self-control thing. Whereas the people that you see pulled over and on the, you know, their mugshots on the, you know, police webpage, those are the people that have no self-control. So that's like the two kinds of criminals, right? You got the ones that don't have, you know, the total impulse driven, no self-control, you know, rage machines, you know, high on everything. And then you got the other ones that are like the criminal masterminds that are like the super scary, totally in control, I can kill you with my brain types.
I would bet that probably in any case that one of those, like Ted Bundy, there was always like a sign. And I think a lot of people dismissed it. Oh no, Ted's such a nice guy. He's so great. I can't, you know, I'm overreacting. I'm sure there was always something that people kind of questioned like their feelings about them.
It's normal,
and then
because most people aren't serial killers. And right. So when something weird happens, you just go, eh, whatever, it's nothing. Except for the, you know, one.
Except that's the exact reason why you should question it, is because you don't get that feeling about most people, right?
Right.
I deal with a lot of people, and most people do not, you know, I don't question. Hmm. So I think at that point, like, if you do, like, get a little, you know, little warning bell, you should probably, like, listen to it.
They're doing Son of Sam on the next Mindhunter.
I know.
I can't wait.
That Mindhunter show is messed up, though, the way it ended the first season. Woof.
Yes. And people are going, people that haven't watched it are going, huh?
They should watch it.
What? Yeah.
Because it's fucked up.
Yep.
In a good way. I mean, it was a very compelling show, but wow.
Yep. True crime. And you know what they say about true crime?
Women love it.
That's right. That article said 70% of the people that watch true crime are women. Or women, mm-hmm. 70% of the audience. And it's like, I wonder why that is. Is it because of the whole, like, I don't know. What do you think? You're a woman.
I am a woman, yes. I'm trying to find the link to the article because there was a good quote in it about why women like true crime, and I can't find the link now. But here it is. Thank God. Okay. Scroll. Why do women love true crime? And it was on the New York Times. When was the article published? It was today?
Recently. Yeah.
Recently? July 16th?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I love true crime. I watch all those true crime things and the forensic things and, you know, all that sort of stuff. And
my grandmother loved mysteries and true crime stuff. She was real big on that.
And and the winning quote in this article for me was, what possible benefit could we derive from hearing about someone like us who had met the worst possible fate? And this is a woman writing this article. So when she says we, she means girls, women.
Right.
And she says, not dying from a freak accident or a sudden illness, but dying the way girls were killed. Intimately, sexually, compulsively, fueled by jealousy or entitlement or rage. I think on a certain level, women and girls know that they are the... You know, they're on a certain level, we're prey for predators because we're physically weaker.
Right.
We're the target of sexual obsession, you know, whatever weird sexual thing that happens with predators.
Yeah, there aren't a whole lot of serial killers that kill men.
No, it's rare. And usually serial killers who kill men are gay. And it's like a gay thing. Right. So also like sexually fueled. You know, so, I mean, it's a whole
weird the repressed
psychology thing. But
the repressed homosexual who kills other homosexuals. Because
but I think women, I think women like true crime because, number one, it like, you get that, like, oh, it could be me, but it's not me. That kind of feeling, like, oh. But then at on another level, you have this, like, well, you know, It's almost, and I like true crime because it gives me an insight into like the psychology of people who are predators. Does it make sense?
Yes.
Like, because I deal with the public a lot, I like to be aware of how people who are, you know, on that spectrum of criminology and predators and whatever, sociopathy. I like to know how they function and I like to know how they work basically. Like I'm a perfect example of, you know, female prey. I'm small. I am disabled.
You're in a gun-free zone.
I'm in a gun-free zone, you know, whatever. And I like to know like where the predation comes
from. Crazy people around you all the time.
Yeah, all the time. So my part in, you know, watching true crime is I like to know what I'm up against, basically. I don't know how other women are, but yeah. I mean, they say that in zoos, like, if you put a prey animal next to a predator, they've had documented cases of this where, like, neighboring enclosures, the prey animal will have fake chases.
Oh.
With the predator.
Huh.
And I wonder if that might be why like true crime is so popular among women, because, you know, maybe it's like that sort of mentality, like we have to practice for the hunt, or we have to, you know, it's ingrained. I don't know. But yeah, if you put like a antelope next to a lion, they'll, you know, anyway, I don't know.
Huh.
I don't have an answer.
Yeah, I don't either.
Anyway,
speaking of criminals,
we've talked about for the whole hour. No, we started late. Okay. Yeah,
we started late. We're only speaking of criminals. Speaking of criminals, Donald Trump.
What?
He's not a criminal. But the Democrats sure wish he was. You know, yeah. It's funny how quickly the Epstein thing fell off the radar as soon as it was clear that it wasn't going to splatter on Trump and it was going to get a whole lot of Democrats in trouble.
They keep trying though. It's so obvious because the more they push Trump Epstein, the more they're pushing away Clinton Epstein, which is the most significant story. I mean, not only did Clinton ride the Lolita Express 27 times,
27, something
whatever,
like that. Yeah.
But he just came out. There was a statement saying, from the Clintons, saying that, oh no, he rode that plane only four times.
Yeah, which is clearly false because we've seen We've seen the flight manifests.
Yeah.
We've seen the logs, and it clearly lists his name. And it's funny, if you can do a Google search, you can find those logs. It's like 112 pages, and it's, you know, a lot of it's cryptic because it's, you know, it's airplane-y's. But they list the names, and it's funny how they list the names. It's like they list, like, famous people, they list their name. Like, you know, mm-hmm. President Bill Clinton.
Right.
Know? And they list other, you know, people you know, their name. And then they have all these other names. It's like, you know, Tiffany and, you know, and it's just like their first name or even their just, or even just their initials.
Oh.
So it's like the girls were.
So they're, even, they're basically the baggage then.
Yeah, exactly. Right. They, yeah. They, I guess they had to put a name there, but you know, who cares? Right.
Right. Sure.
It's just funny. So you see, it's like, you know, Tiffany and, you know, whatever.
Brittany.
Yeah. All the, you know, stripper names and stuff. And
Ashley.
Then, yeah. And then it's like, you know, President William Jefferson Clinton. It's just, you know, it's not, you know, Clinton or Bill Clinton or whatever. And then it goes at the same, in some of the Senate, some of the times when he took his Secret Service with him, it goes President Bill Clinton accompanied by six Secret Service. It just doesn't even list their names.
Who cares?
Yeah.
We've got Bill Clinton.
Right. And you know, Tiffany and.
I don't know. That just makes me wonder, like, why were they not more discreet about, you know, travel logs and that sort of thing? I mean, if they could just put Tiffany down for Tiffany whomever, why didn't they just put Bill?
Well, why would... Why would somebody
who
deals in things like that want something like that to be a record of proof?
Yeah.
Because blackmail.
Blackmail.
I'm convinced. I read a guy, I forget, it was like a week or two ago. So this guy wrote an article about honeypots and the whole, you know, honey traps and, you know, the whole, you know, getting, you know, luring men into compromising positions with the use of a willing woman.
Right.
And, you know, apparently that was huge. You know, we do it in other countries. The Russians did it here. It's like standard operating procedure
for the history of the world.
Right.
And
it's not, you know, it works really well with rich, powerful men.
Yeah.
Because, you know, a good looking woman comes on to a guy, the first thing, you know, if he's a nobody, you know, he might think, why is this woman hitting on me?
Yeah.
You know, but if you're rich and powerful, you know why she is. Cause
yeah, I'm rich.
You're awesome. And why wouldn't she? It doesn't even enter your mind that, you know, oh yeah, you know, this is. You know, a compromise. And I'm convinced that the reason that Pence and a lot and some of the other ones that don't talk about it so much have that rule about not being alone with women is because this honeypot bribery or blackmail thing is rampant. I think it explains John Roberts. It explains so much, you know, all the congressmen.
Really?
All the
you're going there with Roberts.
I'm going there with Roberts. It explains so many, you know, why the hell would these people, you know, sit there and just do nothing or go directly opposite of what what they've said. And, you know, they had that guy that was running the house computers, the Arab guy. What's his name? Remember the big scandal? And now there's starting to be evidence that he was blackmailing Congress people because he had access to all their stuff.
Oh. And,
you know, these are people that aren't, maybe probably not computer savvy anyway.
Sure.
You know, so their whole, you know, encryption thing, they don't even bother.
Like the library director still uses Internet Explorer.
Right. Or Hillary Clinton setting up her own email server, and top secret, you know, closely held government secrets traveling in the clear through a server that, you know, 12 different countries had complete access to. You know, I mean, I'm convinced that there's a whole shitload of blackmail going on at the top of the government on down. I'm convinced.
Which begs the question. So is there no blackmail against Trump? Because he's just doing whatever the fuck he wants.
That's why I think he does, because he can. Because there's nothing, he literally has nothing. Because, you know, they've tried so hard. Do you think if there was anything anybody had on Trump that we'd know about it? I mean, they have tried, they've made shit up to try to smear him, and they can't, it doesn't work. I think he may be the first president and the first major national politician in decades that has not had anybody blackmailing him for something.
Yeah, it's just, it's baffling to me.
You know, it's so, you know, because these guys, it's so, you know.
Because he's not Donald Trump, right? He's got all the women, he's got all the houses, he's got all the money, he's got all the, you know, but they can't find anything.
Right. You, as the anti-Trump industrial complex has been in overdrive for years now.
Yeah.
And they can't come up with anything. If there was any blackmail material out there on Trump at all, we'd know.
It really seems like the best that they can come up with, Nancy Pelosi, is Trump's a racist.
Well, but that's just, you know, that's like...
They did that thing this week, the right. Proclamation or declaration or whatever the fuck. Yeah. What is it called? Help me.
Oh, yeah, the
House... Resolution.
House, which means nothing.
Yeah, of course it means nothing, but that's the best they can come up with. Trump's a racist, which is exactly what he led them into, right?
Yep.
And, sometimes he says stuff, and I'm like, oh, my God. This whole thing with Ilhan Omar and AOC and the other ones, whoever their names are.
The Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse.
Right, the Squad.
Horsemen. Yeah.
The Squad.
Because they're in middle school still.
When he came out with those tweets this week, I was like, oh, no. Oh, no. Donald, no. Why? Yeah, and then I'm thinking, why does not someone, like, maybe, like, before he presses send or whatever on Twitter, like, maybe he should give it to somebody to double check him. And I don't even know. That may be occurring. They may just, like, let him go and say, go ahead, post it. You know, but when I saw his tweets come out this past weekend about send them back to the country, the places they came from and blah, blah, blah. And I thought, oh, God. But it turned out it was one of the best. Oh, my God. It worked because he led them right in. So what happened? What happened was AOC and Ilhan Omar and their squad, you know, have been repeatedly like bad mouthing the United States and promoting socialism and talking about the people working on the border and, you know, just being horrible.
Right.
And he came out with these tweets over the weekend saying if they don't like basically the whole gist of his tweet rant was, if you don't like it, you can get the fuck out.
Yeah, pretty much.
This is the United States. We're Americans. We don't want you to change our country. And if you don't like it here, go back to where you came from.
But he didn't
he did not name anybody. But sure enough, they lined all up. Bless their little hearts. Mm-hmm. All four of them lined up on their little press release presser thing, and they had the little in front of the media, and they basically had a meltdown in front of the media.
It was wonderful.
It was masterful. I mean, I just Wow.
You could just see Pelosi doing multiple face palms.
I'm sure Pelosi like was hitting the liquor cabinet at that point. I mean, not only did she tell all of them, like, don't tweet, don't get into it, don't. They go and they like have a thing in front of the press, right?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. And then, no. And then, so, oh, Trump is a racist. He told us all to get out. And he's talking to the four freshman women of color just recently elected. And he didn't name any of you, but right. You stepped right up and took it, didn't right. you?
Yep. They self-identified.
Self-identified. And so then Pelosi and the rest of the Democrats have to step up and defend them.
Yep. She spent the last month trying to marginalize
yeah.
those four representatives and trying to put them, you know, in that yeah. place.
Democrats yeah. aren't socialists. Yeah. No. Yeah. yeah.
And now.
Yep.
The entire Democratic Party is basically said, yeah, this is, they speak for us.
Yeah.
And the Republican Party is already, they're already running ads that are nothing but words from those, their mouths on that press conference. It was masterful. And then he threw out that thing. It was like this morning, was it? Where he was like, we were talking about, Omar, like being a, you know, have married his brother.
Oh my God. Yes.
You know, all that kind of stuff. He's like, I don't know, but maybe somebody should look into that.
Yep. And now... Yeah.
But which is funny because the local press where she's from has been reporting on this like crazy
for sure.
like well over a year now.
Sure.
And it is like the least secret thing ever. And the national press has just completely ignored it. And I've read lots of stories by local guys there that are just digging this shit up right and left, you know, and about how she, you know, she filed basically fraudulent tax returns. She remarried husband number one before she was officially so husband number one she supposedly married in a Muslim ceremony.
Right. That's the way a lot of Muslims get around being legal about anything.
Right.
And they have the religious ceremony, but they don't do the legal stuff.
Right. And, yeah. but in the U.S., they have that thing of that common law thing where it's like, if you represent yourself as married, you're married.
Right.
So she, you know, she can say whatever she wants, but, you know, she was married to that guy. And then she married this other guy who by all evidence is probably her brother to get him into the country as a, you know, legal, you know,
right.
resident.
Mm-hmm.
And that marriage was like a legal U.S. marriage. You know,
that was a legal. Yeah. Well, I mean, it would have to be to get right. him in.
She's as far as I know, she still hasn't divorced him, or maybe she did after
a
while. Okay.
Yes.
So she finally, but before she actually divorced him, she was filing tax returns, listing husband number one as her, you know, married filing jointly.
Yeah.
So.
I understand things can get confused. And things, you know. I don't know how to explain it. But the problem for me was that she, when pressed, will not answer
no.
any questions about it.
And they flat out ask her about the whole anti-Semitic thing and all this kind of stuff. And she won't say anything to the press where she can be, you know, quoted when she's among her own people. She's very outspoken about, you know, hating Jews and, you know, everything else. She got that resolution, the anti-Israel resolution entered.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The whole.
So now Nancy Pelosi has to own this also.
Right. Yeah. That, what do they call it? The D.
BDS.
That thing. Right. The.
Yeah. They where they want to do sanctions and right. boycotts of Israel.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Because, which is wholly a Hamas and anti-Israel thing. Sure.
Absolutely. So, yeah. Brilliant people. So, yeah, Trump is, you know, they keep talking about that, you know, he's playing 4D chess and you know, I don't know. I don't know if he's actually doing that or if he's just throwing, you know, he's like chumming the waters to see what comes up and then playing it, you know, like an, you know, like an angle, you know, like they go out in the boats and they, you know, they throw a bunch of, they don't know what's down there, but they throw a bunch of bait in the water and then they, you know, they catch, they play, you know, they catch and you know, whatever comes up. I suspect it's more along the lines of that. He's just a really good troll. He is a mass. 4chan should make him their god. I mean, he is like, they should make him their patron saint. He is a masterful troll. And I think he just chums the water and he sees what comes up and he just plays off of that. You know, he just reels them in and does it. It's, you know, And it's funny because you got all these, you know, these never Trumpers that are still like, oh, Trump, he did, you know, he's crude and rude, and blah, you know. Meanwhile, you know, if you're, you know, one of these conservative never Trumpers, you know, Trump's the best conservative president we've had, like ever. You know, he got that thing passed where they have to repeal two regulations for every new regulation. Mm-hmm. And you know, they're cutting regulations left and right. You know, he's moving that big chunk of the FDA, was it USDA, statistical something or other. He's moving a bunch of people, a whole giant department. He wants to move to Kansas to get them closer to the, you know, the farms and get them out of Washington. And, you know, it's like they just reported the other day, you know, like half the people won't move. And I'm like, great.
Now you know who to fire.
And yeah, and he's also talking about moving like the, you know, Bureau of Land Management to Colorado or something, which makes perfect sense because, you know, that's, you know, get those people out of Washington.
Yeah, but they don't have fancy dinner parties in Colorado.
No, they don't, which means a lot of those people aren't going to want to move. So you automatically you can't fire these people, right? You can't like, You, sir, you're fired. The only way you can get rid of them is by eliminating their job, which, you know, almost never happens, or you get them to quit. And basically he's getting them to quit because he's telling them, hey, look, your job, we're not getting rid of your job. You can move.
Mm.
They even have relocation assistance. This is not like, you know, like you got a job at Walmart and Walmart's closing this store and you can get a job at the other one 50 miles away. You know, good luck. They'll assist you. This is federal, you know, that's got, you know, gravy boat benefits. They got relocation assistance. They got all kinds of stuff. They'll help you sell your house. They, you know, move you and all that kind of stuff. And these people are like, no, I don't want to move. So brilliant.
Fancy dinner parties. I'm telling you.
Yeah, that's what it is, man. There was something else.
Really?
Yeah. There was something else. What was the Drudge thing.
You know what? I think we should wait.
You
want
to
the
wait
Drudge
until
thing.
If we have Jay.
Until Jay's back, yeah.
Next week. Okay.
Yep.
We can do that.
Yep. Stay tuned, everybody.
We'll have
I'm going to go try to cool off because I'm sitting here drenched in sweat.
We got like 10 more minutes, so
what?
You can't
what?
Go.
Oh, damn it!
We gotta fill the airways.
Oh, because the people need their money's worth, right?
We gotta give them the full Monty, so to speak. Mm-hmm.
Well, I just. Back on the Trump thing, I think it's really funny how hard that the media is trying to get him. I mean, they're going way back to like film footage from the early 90s.
Oh, yeah. They posted that cheerleader thing.
Oh, my God. I think that some news show or morning show did a segment on Trump, and he had gone to some sort of party and he was with a bunch of women and
a cheerleader, NFL team's cheerleader.
Yeah. It was the Buffalo Bills cheerleaders or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
And the cheerleaders are all like, woo, Donald Trump. And they're all like chanting Donald, Donald. And there's Donald. Right. Like he's like dancing with the cheerleaders. He's doing like the white guy overbite dance.
Yeah.
You know how they all do. And I'm sure you don't do it, Alan. I'm sure you're very suave on the dance floor.
I'm sure Donald Trump's a better dancer than I am.
But, you know, there's Donald surrounded by, like, these drunk cheerleaders that, you know, they're all hot, you know. And, like, the news thing, I think it was a morning show originally. It sounded like a morning show, but show these clips trying to like discredit him and make him look bad.
Yeah. Cause
I mean,
and it's not like he's not like macking on him or anything.
He's not like Joe Biden.
Right. Right. Yeah. He's not like Creepy Joe hanging, you know, rubbing on him and hanging on him or anything.
He was dancing with the girls, and there was one girl where he kind of grabbed her around the waist and then patted her on the butt.
Yeah. And also, this is when he was.
And she was like throwing herself at him.
Oh, yeah.
At the same time. Oh, I mean, absolutely. You know.
They all were.
So, of course. I mean, he's Donald Trump. Come on.
And he was also single at the time.
Oh, okay. Well, hey. But, you know, they keep coming up with these stories and these news clips and, like, you know, lifestyles of the rich and famous of Donald Trump and this sort of shit, trying to, like, make him look bad. It does not make him look bad to the normal American.
No, it doesn't.
It makes him look like, whoa, he's a rich dude with women throwing themselves at him. Yeah. Wow.
It makes everybody look at him going, damn, I wish I was him.
Damn. Damn, Donald.
Yeah.
You know, and then, oh, what was it? I saw a news, I think I saw in the Daily Mail today, where they found, and it was from 1992. Please let me find it. Yeah. NBC unearths 1992 interview where Trump admits to kissing a news anchor on the lips behind her husband's back. Before he agreed to go on her show.
Oh, no.
Okay, so they posted pictures. And so they post the clip. And he kissed her while her husband was not looking. And she says, tell the rest of the story, though. You kissed me on the lips in front of the paparazzi. And I said, you know, she said something like, that'll cost you. I'm booking you on the show. So his price for kissing her on the lips was having to go on her show. Okay. Yeah. But then they show a picture of him kissing her on the lips, the exact kiss that they're talking about. Uh-huh. And she is like leaning into it, lips pursed.
Oh,
like so kind of like, yeah, you know, leaning.
So it's one of those. It's not like, but he again, was like molesting her or something.
No, not even at all.
She was totally into it.
She was into it. And but it's so funny how far they're trying to go. Oh, Donald Trump kissed a girl that clearly wanted to kiss him.
Right.
Like he didn't have his so hands awful. On. She was leaning into it. She was smooching him. You know, he wasn't even, his eyes were open. He was looking somewhere else. It looked like she was more into it than he was.
Yeah, she probably was.
But it's just, you know, keep digging, people.
That's what I'm telling you. If there was any blackmail material out there on Trump, we'd know about it by now. If there was anything at all, we'd know about it. You know, even the Epstein thing fizzled. You know.
Yeah, like, there was a picture of Epstein and Trump at a party.
Yeah, but they were like young guys. They were like
young guys, like
in their 20s or something. It's like before he was like Mr. Pedophile, or you know, before he was like.
Yeah.
Known for doing that. So
Trump like looked at a hot woman and said to Epstein, look at her back there. She's hot.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's like, you know.
But I have to say, God bless Trump. He is wearing the same suit.
Oh, yeah.
And the same damn tie. It's like his uniform.
It is.
He does not wear anything but a suit and tie. God love him.
Well, you know, it's his uniform. It's like Jobs. He wore the same thing all the time. If you wear the same thing all the time, you don't have to worry about it.
The tie has gotten a little bit wider since the 80s, 90s, but same thing. Yeah. I think the only time he changes clothes is when he goes golfing. It's where he wears his golfing outfit.
Yep. And, well, we got five more minutes, but we can go We can go ahead and end it.
Okay.
I will say that, that
what if I'm not done talking?
Well, we can keep talking. But I want to let everyone know that the city of Berkeley,
California.
Right.
Yes.
Has taken a stand.
Oh boy.
Gendered language like manhole will soon be banned from Berkeley city codes. Words like manhole and manpower will be replaced with gender neutral ones like maintenance hole.
Oh no.
And
that's worse.
And human effort.
What?
They're also going to replace gendered pronouns such as he and she with they.
They, yeah.
Because, you know.
Maintenance hole.
Berkeley has
I don't like anything ending in hole.
Berkeley has solved all their other problems.
Yeah. I think they should get rid of all hole words. Manhole, butthole, maintenance hole. It just, maintenance hole sounds worse. I'm sorry. Maintenance access, maybe?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, maintenance access sounds better than maintenance hole.
Right.
You know, I don't know. You know, it's.
Well, like, you know, they're having some earthquakes out there. So
it's 1984, man. We're changing the language. Wrong think. Free speech is dead. There's things you can't say anymore.
What was the first instance of that you can remember in your life?
Oh, gosh.
Stewardess.
Yeah, stewardess becoming a flight attendant. Oh, I remember the big one. The first big one I remember was garbage man.
Oh.
When they changed it to sanitation engineer.
Oh, Jesus.
And everybody made fun of it, but that's the first one I remember. Even before the stewardess thing, it was the garbage man. And garbage man became, because garbage man was demeaning.
Oh, so it was, they make more than I do. I would be happy to be demeaned on that level.
Yeah, well, garbage man became sanitation engineer.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, then, yeah, like stewardess became flight attendant. Secretary became administrative assistant.
Yes.
Right about the time secretaries were disappearing anyway. Yeah, those are the big ones I remember.
Yeah.
And now it's like everything. They're erasing history, changing the words. That guy I was reading, that, you know, they had that big summit, the social media summit at the White House.
Yes, which is what we're going to wait to talk to Jay about.
Right. But one of the fallout things from that, and it is kind of, I'll mention it now because it's tangential to what, you know, if we were going to talk about with Jay. But one of the guys that makes those memes, the meme guy, God damn it, what was his name?
Memes are now news.
Well, yeah, but that guy, what's his name? It's something, God damn it. Anyway, he's this anonymous guy, and he makes these memes, and he's, like, apparently famous for it, right?
Uh-huh.
But he's just a dude. He's just a dude, like, with no criminal record. He's just a guy. And one of the liberal clickbait sites, BuzzFeed or something, is basically going to dox the guy. Because they figured out who he was, you know, because all he's used is his pseudonym ever. But they figured out who he was, they're going to dox him. And he's like, hey, I'm just a dude. I'm just a, you know, So apparently that's the thing, you know, if you say something we don't like, we're going to fuck you up.
Carpe donctum.
Yeah, that guy.
Oh, yeah. Trump retweets his memes. I see.
Yeah, well.
Yeah.
There you go. He's Hitler.
Hmm.
He's meme Hitler. So that's the thing, you know, it's like, oh, well, you say something we don't like. Yeah, but it goes back to the whole, you know, you can't put a Trump sticker on your car or it'll get, you know, it'll get scratched or defaced or your car will get beat up or something, you know, because, you know, there's always that one rabid Democrat with poor self-control. So, you know, and everybody knows it.
Sure. Are you going to put a Trump sign in your yard come the election?
Oh, if I do, I'll put a electric fence wire to it. Did you see that? Did you see that video?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Somebody's sign kept getting stolen. So he ran his electric fence wire over to it. And,
oh,
and he's
God.
Got video, pointed a video camera at it. So he's got video. This guy come diddy bopping up to the street to up the, like he's going to take his sign, reach down, grab the sign and gets the shit shocked out of him. And kind of falls down, rolls over, stands up, and runs away. That's great.
That's great.
So there you go.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to be putting a sign in our yard, well, just not, because our
not
I mean
where you live.
Yeah, our city's pretty conservative, but we still have those, like, you know, it's pretty.
And that's the problem. You can have a, you know, 80% conservative place, but those 20% Democrats, there's enough insane ones that they do crazy shit like that. You know, they can't just leave your shit alone and, you know, try to be rational. They got to steal it or deface it or whatever.
So. Well, they're children.
Yep.
Yeah.
And we've hit the magic hour.
Aw.
You can keep talking if you want.
I got nothing. I want to go into the air conditioning now.
Talked out.
I'm talked out. Right. I miss Jay. Jay, we need you.
Yeah.
Come back.
It's always better as a
stay cool, one. Everybody. Alan has central air, so, you know. Yeah. But us in the Northeast, we're...
If you live down here,
sweating our balls off. Yeah, we would, but you know. Ugh.
All right, we'll go hide in the air conditioner.
Okay.
And, we will be back next week with Jay.
All right. Good night, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.